Hello, and welcome to Forward Church Online. In this weekly podcast, we hope that you'll have an encounter with God through inspired teaching and discover practical ways to help you live a life of purpose. We hope you enjoy today's message. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Turn to someone and say, disequilibrium. Maybe that's the first time you've said that word. So here's what we're going to do. With a little bit of background music, I need everyone to stand. And for the next several minutes, 2 minutes or under, go find someone and pray a prayer of blessing over their life. And you've got to move to do that. Ready? Go. Hook up with somebody and pray over them a blessing. It's great to watch those videos, but let's activate that here in the war room. A prayer of blessing. Take a moment and pray a prayer of blessing over someone. If there's no one there, go find someone. Don't leave anyone by themselves. Okay? I don't want you just to hug somebody. I want you to pray over them. Wow, really good. Keep going. There's someone all the way in the back. No one has gone. One of our men all the way in the back. Just go pray a prayer of blessing. Just a prayer. Quick, good job. There goes one of our elders. Wow. Good. Just a prayer of blessing over somebody's life. Awesome. Did anyone not have that opportunity to be prayed over? One of our guys in the back? Can we make sure everyone had a chance to bless somebody? Beautiful. Awesome. Man, this is really cool. It's great to watch a movie, and that's going to be fun watching that movie. But it's even better when we do it right here. Then we take it and we go out there and get it done. So, Father, as individuals are being prayed for and blessed this morning, I ask that the blessings of the Lord will overtake every person and help us to remember that we can't outrun your grace. And your grace is going to outrun us, outdistance us, and capture and catch us. Thank you, Father God. I thank you for prayers that are going on right now all over this room. Blessings, prayers of blessings. Awesome. Incredible. Incredible. We just wait upon you this morning. Father, we're never in a rush. We're not in a hurry in your kingdom because it's a pleasure to be in rather than out. We enjoy being in the kingdom. We're preparing for eternity. We thank you. Blessings over this house. Thank you, Father. Lord, I just thank you for the blessings of the Lord that are resting down upon people's lives right now. The blessings of the Lord will overtake individuals. They've come in and you're going to take them out better than they came in this morning. We just thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Now we're going to do one more assignment. How many know assignments are to be fulfilled? We're going to stand as a body of believers again, and we're going to just begin to bless the Lord. And then after you do that, I want you to say with me this morning, I'm not trapped. Come on. I'm not trapped. So everyone who is not visiting, after we finish blessing the Lord, you've got to go move to another section. Oh, I just about bit my lip. Everybody gets to move. You got to move. Disequilibrium. They did that to us for 2 solid weeks at Southeastern. Every time we felt like we were comfortable, they just shuffled us. How many know that sometimes that's what God has to do? He has to shuffle us, move us about a little bit, get out of those comfort zones. So we're going to bless the Lord. We're just going to begin blessing him. And then after we're done, I want you to go set somewhere else. Yes, you can take your loved ones with you, but you've got to move to another area. Visitors, you can stay right where you are. I know how you feel. All right? You ready? Let's begin to bless the Lord. Father, we thank you this morning. We bless you in this house. We raise our hands and open our mouths and we give praise to you because you're worthy of our praise. And we thank you that you found us when we weren't looking for you. Thank you that you kept us when we were running from you. Thank you that you've prepared a place for us. And we just bless your name this morning. Am I the only one talking here? Come on, church. Come on, church. This is not your normal, you know, not that kind of ministry. Those are okay. But in here, we open up our mouths and we begin to bless the Lord. I want you to bless him. Why are you asking that? Because that's how he feels the blessing that was just prayed over you. Father, I bless you. I bless you that you've given me good health and a long life and a better life yet to come. And I bless my wife and I bless my children and I honor my grandchildren. And I thank you that the name of the Lord will be on their lips. And I bless all the faculty and staff in the school where I serve and all the students. They don't even know how you're going to bless them as they walk in. Are you still blessing him, church? Or are you listening to me? Come on, open up your mouth and give God praise. Come on, open up your mouth and give God praise in this house. Come on, let's open up our mouths and give the Lord praise. Put your hands together and give him praise with your cymbals. Amen. And God's people said, amen. Now you feel like I felt for 2 weeks. Ready? Go. Disequilibrium. Beautiful. Visitors can stay right where they are. Awesome. 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 Now you can go sit by somebody you've never sat beside before. Awesome. Awesome. Beautiful. Sometimes we get way too comfortable, don't we? Yep. This is a house that will make you feel a little bit different. I know the first time they did this to me, they moved me from the back to the front. The next time, they moved me from the front to the, from the back to the front. And it was like, you got to be kidding me. I didn't come here for this. But it was getting us out of our comfort zones because we are comfortable. Let me explain it to you this way. If you're normally the running back that takes the outside sweep, you might have to run on the inside between the tackles. You've got to be comfortable with that. You've got to be comfortable. All right? Turn to someone that you're sitting beside now and say, hey, this is okay. This is okay. A little different, and he might be crazy, but it's okay. This is okay. I'll be all right. Okay? We're not asking you to change your homes. We're not asking you to rearrange your bedroom. I'm just asking you to feel a little bit of disequilibrium this morning. Amen? Get out of that box. Break through all those traps that the enemy likes to hold us in. So I want to pass out a couple nuggets that I jotted down. By the way, I want to congratulate several things before we get into God's word. Number one, how many noticed the new sign out front, all the way out front, up top? You know, if you're short, you always look up. So it was real easy for me to look up. There's a wonderful brand new sign up on top of the facility. And I just congratulate those men who got that done. And then how many of you noticed that we have a brand new stand out front? Yep, where all the goodies are. Yes, and we're thankful to the Lord for those that have worked diligently to make that happen. And there it is. This morning I said, I love it. I said, it's got gray and all it needs is a little it, and it will be set. I was thinking of you, Adam. I was with Joe last night. How many believe in mentoring? If you're in the kingdom, you should be mentoring. If you're not mentoring anyone, it's all about you. That was a good word. If you're not mentoring anybody in the kingdom or anyone coming into the kingdom, then you're all about you in the kingdom. But we were over at one of the restaurants, Barbecue Bill's, and I had an Ohio State thing on, and one of the waitresses did this to me. I thought, wow, must be the crucifixion. And then she came by and she said, I don't even like you. And she was joking, of course. Okay? But it's all about mentoring. It's about mentoring. So I want to encourage you this morning, as members of the body of Christ, who are you mentoring right now? Very important to mentor. Another thing, did you notice that we celebrate Jesus every day of the year? Yes. But we've also had a new sign put up out in the foyer area. We'll put Jesus and that Christmas story up when it's that time of the year, but we have a new sign up. Notice it when you go out this morning. How many took notice of that this morning? Uh-oh, some of you are sleeping while you're awake? That's dangerous. Okay? Did you see that? Excellent. He kind of raised his hand like, yeah, I saw that. Again, that was up a little bit higher. Short people see up. Okay? Yep. Guys good with that? Here's another shout out for the house. I'm working on a bunch of papers right now, so if you get bored in praying, you can pray for me. I want to share this with the whole house, and this is a compliment to you. Are you ready? Rick Warren said this, "We'll build no buildings until we build up." I found that in research. The church is lagging behind because we watch the world more than we watch His Word. Jesus was a man who encouraged people. It was the religious people that dogged people, and they dogged God. That was God in the person of Jesus Christ. I want to give you a compliment this morning. You encourage one another really good. So here's a compliment from me to you. I love to see what I saw this morning. When our worship leader and pastor invited us to just come, it wasn't about having to be prayed for, but just come and celebrate and worship. Man, the front was filled. Give yourselves a big round of applause. That's awesome. That's incredible. So we're going to adopt that from Rick Warren's ministry out in California. We're not going to build anything until we make sure people are being built up in this house. There's no need to build anything if you're not going to build people up, right? Have you ever noticed a lot of churches brag on their buildings more than they brag on people? One of the gifts that the Lord has given to me, because I wasn't always an encourager when I was much, much younger. That was just a few years ago. I wasn't big into encouraging people. I just figured, hey, they can get it the same way I've gotten it. But now I'm learning it's about encouraging people. And I'm going to do that every day of my life. I'm going to encourage and build up people. Build people up. Ready for your next assignment? Oh, man, I just got situated. Man, I just got comfortable. Oh, man, you really bother me. You ready? You can do it beside where you're seated, or you can get up and go encourage somebody. Either beside you, around you, find somebody and encourage them right now. Just do that. Because there's no need to talk about building programs if we don't build up the people who operate the programs. Go build somebody up. Glory. Go build somebody up. Give them a high five, because people are going to walk out of here going, man, this is different. Man, this is, I actually have a smile on my face. Wow, this is good. Go encourage somebody. Build somebody up. Good, good, good. I'm seeing it all over. Wow, I'm seeing some young people doing it. Wow. 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 Just people encouraging people. Wow, I love it. Can I tell you something? Words of encouragement will bring people back here quicker than anything else. Just by encouraging people, building people up, it will touch something in their heart, and they'll be back before you know, simply because you took the time to encourage them. Okay? How many already feel better? Good, you ready to move one more time? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I like it. This house is alive. This house is real. This house is dynamic. In fact, when the Lord kind of mentioned this several weeks ago when we're working on this series on avoiding traps, one of the men in the house came and said, hey, have you thought about? And I said, I think we'll try it. Thank you. And he's here this morning, and he's in a different position. Did you know that that's what God wants to do? God wants to reposition you. If you've been a student of a book in God's Word, He wants you to try a new book in His Word. Don't get stuck to just one pattern, okay? Turn to somebody and say, you're not stuck. From the worship this morning, I want to give you these nuggets, and then we'll get right into God's Word. We're on part three this morning on avoiding traps. Are you ready? These are nuggets for every one of us. If it's yours specifically, I'd encourage you to write it down. Ready? Number one, lead me back to the rock. How many know we sang about that this morning? If somebody makes that their prayer, you're going to be amazed what God does this week alone. Lead me back to the rock. Number two, this came through worship and our worship leader, who is our executive pastor in this house. Move away from the sand of your past. That's for somebody in this house. That was a power. He gave me a picture right away. When he began to speak, he being the executive worship pastor, when he began to speak, I saw a picture right away. People enjoying the sands. Of course we do. We love the ocean. We love the beach. But you can't build there. So I need to encourage somebody, move away from the sand of your past. Number three, take your hands off. Just take your hands off of it. Okay? I don't know what that means to you, but it's for you. He'll show you. Number four, he has lifted us up and away from our shame. There's no shame in the body of Christ. Hello. There is no shame in the body of Christ. If you're experiencing shame down here, you're probably nervous about heaven up there. In the kingdom, there's no shame. See, I don't even have to get into the text without realizing God's already speaking to our hearts. If you feel like, man, this isn't the place I really want to be. I don't want to go to a local church. I don't want to be around Christians because you feel things you shouldn't be feeling. And then there are people wondering, why would I want to go to heaven if heaven's like this? This is a house where there will be no shame. Last one. Are you ready? He is all you need. And if you'll let him be all that you need, then that special person in your life doesn't have to measure up to whatever your thoughts are. Have you got that? Okay. Last piece. Say with me this morning, put my heart on fire.
Put my heart on fire.
Come on, put my heart on fire. Because see, if you're going to be around me, that's what's going to happen to you. Okay? Your heart's going to come alive. You're going to be a person with fire on the inside. Okay? So now, Father, for a few moments as we go to your word, we ask that you would convey some very simple principles to our hearts so that we will absolutely know as we get ready for a new school year, a new week, new opportunities, perhaps new jobs, we're going to avoid some traps. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, you can go there, and you can also follow along on the screen. I want to update you for those that are visiting. I'm going to do these real quick. These are the first five traps that we are to avoid. You want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, and then you also want to go over to 1 Corinthians 2:16. How do I do that? Create scissors and do it like that, okay? Create scissors and do it like that, or other ways to hold scriptures in place. Avoid being trapped. We've covered these already. I won't go back over them, but to just refresh so that you'll remember. Number one, people who are mentally strong avoid feeling sorry for themselves. Number two, people who are mentally strong and spiritually sure, listen closely, never give away their power to the opinions of others. That's why you'll see every once in a while, don't expect it every time, because sometimes my memory doesn't catch on right away. When we began to sing about the rock, I raised my Bible because this is above my opinions. People think what's on Facebook is more important than what's in the book. This is the final word. Because I got to stand before him. By the way, that's going to be one of the traps this morning. I'm not going to stand before you all and give an account. Though I'm accountable by my lifestyle now. But there's a day coming when I'm going to stand before the Word. And he is the Word. He has the final say. Don't give your power away to people's opinions. Number three, we spoke about this. Mentally strong people shy away from change. They avoid that. They accept change. That's why there's going to continue to be growth in this house and in this region. How many have lived here at least 10 years? Would you agree that it's time for change? There's things that got to change in this community, in this tri-county area. Strongholds have got to go. And those that have been holding those have got to either change or be gone. How many know that also means me? If I'm not willing to change, God's got to get me off the front line. Hello? How many know that the way we fought the Vietnam War is not the way that we were fighting over in Iraq? Everybody say update. Mm-hmm. Everybody say stay current. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the body of Christ isn't that way. We've got to be current. We never change the message, but we're willing to change methodologies. Never ever alter God's word. Are you serious? Let me tell you what happened down in Southeastern. It wasn't on my watch. It was on one of the other students in this cohort. And I watched to see what the professor was going to do. Their phone started going off because they forgot to do what I just forgot to do. Okay? And I waited to see what the professor was going to do. And they turned it into a light moment because the person that had that happen to them was immediately embarrassed. I would have felt better if Ohio State's fights than everyone. All right, let's get back to where we need to be and get into God's word. And by the way, the same for all of you that like your favorite team. All right? You guys know how that feels. That's good. Number four, mentally strong people avoid stagnation. We are not stagnant. Your marriages aren't stagnant. Those that are single, you're not always going to be single. If the will of God is for you to find that special person, you will not be stagnant, nor will you marry someone who's stagnant. Come on now. I mean, young people are in here too. I mean, how would you like to marry somebody that's stagnant? A cesspool. I mean, all they want to do, you know, what? Come on. Turn to your spouse if she's near you or he's near you and simply say, you are not stagnant. Good job. Number five. This was a big one 2 weeks ago. Mentally strong, spiritually equipped people do not waste energy on what they can't manage. They just don't waste their time on that. Okay? I mean, when there's bigger fish to go after, why are you playing around with minnows? Like, we've made all kinds of changes at the academy, and there's some things that don't have anything to do with me. Man, I just left it go. You don't have to put your hands in everything. Come on, church. All right, are you ready for number six? We may not get both six and seven, but we'll get number six this morning. Are you good? Hello, are you there? Okay, just got to make sure you're still here. Here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. It is our host verse that we're using for this series. Paul is writing to the church and he says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, we are not ignorant of his devices. How many know that he has devices? Your adversary. I'm not talking about people. He has devices that he's working against you. But we have to proclaim what God's word proclaims. You and I are not ignorant of his game. Okay? Example, the other night, some of the guys that work for the sheriff's department, they said, hey, we know that you were a former coach. I said, what? They said, we want to invite you over to the Bronson gym, and we need for you to coach us up. We're going to be getting into some tournaments. And I said, are you serious? You really want me to come over? I said, it's not going to be like this. It's going to be different. I don't know if you know that person. And so I went over there, and man, we got into it, and I saw some bad devices, things that were working against them. And so we talked about that, and we worked to correct some things. Question, are you working to correct some things? Because there's no need to compete out there if you're not willing to correct some things in here. This is a house of correction. No. I don't mean where you're getting scolded, but where you and the Holy Spirit go, okay, this is something I need to correct. Let me break it down this way. This morning, when I was doing my thing, I came out and I looked, and my wife was having her quiet time, her devotions, and she said, can I read something to you? And right away, it was like, shoot. How many do that? You put your shield up. Come on. You can't play here. It's not a playground. And she said, I want to read this to you. And I said, okay, go ahead. And it was exactly what I needed to hear. I wanted to give her a but. You know how we do that? Someone says something, but that's a rebuttal. Is it? Come on, church. Come on. It's a rebuttal. And I said, thank you. After I finally settled down, hello. I know you're out there. Somebody. I went back to her and I said, thank you. That's exactly what I need to work on. because maybe I was a little ignorant in that area. And that's a strong word. It's a biblical word in Scripture. Maybe I wasn't aware. Does that help you? I wasn't aware of that tactic that he was using against me. If you're not aware, he'll use that on you. So you've got to be aware. That's why God gives you a covenant, husband and wife, so that you can help each other see things that the other doesn't see. How many know it's good to live in covenant? Yes, it's good to live in his covenant and then have covenant on earth. That's a double covenant. I was sharing that with the men over at Lancaster yesterday morning as they were talking about what they want to do when they get out. I said, you want to have a double covenant? And they said, what's that? I said, a covenant about being in the kingdom, and then you want to be in covenant with someone else on earth so that his will can be done. So those of you who are married, you have a double covenant right now. You're in covenant with, hello? Hello? You have a covenant with Jesus Christ. Those who are single, you are in covenant with those who are in the body of Christ. But those of us who are married, we also have a covenant that we have made at the altar. By the way, if they won't meet you at the altar, don't meet them in the bedroom. I thought I'd just say that. I like it. By the way, I used to be a teenager, and I found out those that met me in the back seat never met me at the altar of confession. Yes, I was raised a pastor's kid, but no, I was not. Okay, let me break it down. Okay, you were raised in a Christian home, but there was a day when you weren't. And if they'll meet you in a bar, I bet they won't meet you down here. We are not ignorant of his devices, the other passages of Scripture, and then we're ready to talk about the trap. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. How many are being fed by the Holy Spirit this morning? By the way, I'm not going to try to ramrod this into you. I'm not going to try to push it in. If you don't want it, it'll pass you right by. That's why we used to sing hymns like, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior." I used to get screamed at because I used to be a professional check person on a conveyor belt at American Standard. All I had to do was check urinals and stools. But man, my boss got all over me if I let them get past and I didn't see the mistakes. I used a simple illustration, and I'm thinking about, why are you so, did you see that crack in that urinal? I'm thinking, what difference does it make when you're come on, church. And then they would say silly things like, did you look down inside that bowl and that, I said, you don't look down in there when you're seated. But they were so, thank you for a few smiles, they were so meticulous about making sure that we saw everything on the line. What am I talking about? Man, God, please don't pass me by. I don't know what the rest of them are doing, but whatever you do, don't pass me by. When you've got things on the conveyor belt, please slow it down so that I can get this and you can change me. Because the only one that can change us is Christ. Amen? So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16 says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." For some of us who have used terms like, man, I am really dumb. Wow, I am so stupid. Why couldn't I see that or figure that? Stop using that. You have the mind of Christ. Use his mind. Activate today the mind of Christ in your life. Why is that important? So that you can avoid this number six trap. Are you ready? I'm going to tell you a story, then we're going to talk a little bit about this trap. It is the trap called pleasing others. Wow, I think I'm home now. I think I'm home. Pleasing others. Here's the story. I grew up in a household of seven. Back in the day, not many are having to do this anymore, the only provider was my dad. He pastored churches. They weren't very big. So he had to work, and he created for the family. How many of you know that you can create because you know the Creator? Why are you taking it all in when you've got so much to give yourself? I mean, some of you in this house, all you do is take in everybody else's ideas, and they're almost overtaking your ideas that God's given to you. Some of you are very, very creative. Why are you still on the launch pad? You should have launched some of those creative ideas. The Spirit of the Lord is here. You know what holds us back? are concerned what others are going to think. Wow, the Lord is here. We're talking about avoiding this trap called pleasing people. Let me explain it to you this way. Let's finish that story. So my father was very creative. He built homes from scratch. Meaning he would just find a piece of property, he'd buy the property, and then before long we'd start the process. No, he didn't hire others. He already had his staff. He had three sons. And we loved him and we cussed him. All right, I know I'm around church people now, but y'all know what you do in your families. And he'd load us up and out to the home we would go, and we would start from scratch and we would build. And what he built, we would eventually live in. And then he'd go find some more property because he had seven people to take care of. Hope I'm not boring you. It's almost to the punchline. And he would start building another home. When that home was done, he would sell the home we were in. We would live off of that, and we'd move into the new home. But my mother, who is now 90 years of age and doing well, even though she wants to go home, and I said, you can't yet. But, of course, I can't override that. When it's the time for her to go, she'll go. I understand. She would always say to him, I can hear her. I'm going to put it in this context. Wayne, what are the people going to say in the church? What are the people going to think? And he never responded. He just kept moving forward. There are many of you that have been saddled by this trap. What will people think? What are people going to say? Are you here this morning? God is about to liberate a bunch of us from always trying to please people. You were not created to please people. You were created to please the Lord. But that doesn't mean you run over people. But ultimately, when it's time for you to make a decision, your decision isn't based upon what are people going to think. If he had lived that way, we would have been in poverty. Because the ministries were smaller than this, and he had seven mouths to feed and clothes to put on their back and send them to college. That's back when America was America. You talk about what you see today. I'll tell you what I've seen in the past. We're in trouble. That's all I'm going to say about that. We're in trouble. You know why? Because we are willing to have the rock and other things. And that's called idolatry, ladies and gentlemen. When you say, I've got God's word, but I have some other things, you have idolatry. I didn't call your name out. That is a picture of idolatry. God is wanting us to reduce all these other things. What's the other things this morning? Other people being so concerned about what are people going to say? Will this please people when we don't even ask, how's God going to feel about this? So I thank the Lord for my dad. He stayed the course, and home after home still is located in that area of Ohio. The ministry's still there. He's home with the Lord, and every one of our needs were met because he wasn't concerned about what people were going to say. I am liberating you now in Jesus' name, and the Holy Spirit will do the rest of the work. I'm going to give you these words, and then the Holy Spirit will do what he can with your permission. How many know that he will never violate your permission? That's crazy. If you've studied history, you know Adolf Hitler violated people. The God of creation does not violate people. And if you're rejecting this morning, he's not going to make you eat this. That's your call to walk away from it. But I am going to speak these words of liberty over your life. You will never, ever have to be concerned about pleasing other people because you're in love with Jesus. I'm just kind of waiting on you to get that one. So let me close that story out. Because she was always concerned. Because he didn't build a little shack. He built a home, folks. I'm talking a beautiful home. Now listen closely. Today, my mother is in a one-room, what do you want to call it, retirement center. She's down to one room. All the stuff is gone. Hold on. Ready? Let's stay with that line of thought. Wonder what people are thinking now. See how ridiculous it is to include what other people are thinking? Because I'll give you good news. Most people aren't thinking about what you're doing. So do what you're called to do for the glory of God. Do what you're called to do for the... Let me say it again. Do what you're called to do for the glory of God. Amen? Because we're so oriented to this nature, are we not? And all the stuff that we gather, are we not? Hello? I'm going to give you some scriptures about pleasing God, pleasing people, and then we're going to close next Sunday. Listen closely. Mentally strong, you want to be here next Sunday, and if you're not, now I know, because I've already told you. Mentally strong, spiritually equipped people, listen closely, are willing to take risk. That'll be next Sunday. Biblical risks, because I used to be a risk taker outside the kingdom, and I paid dearly. See, I love talking just to young people because I can break it right down to where they fully understand the choices and the empowerment of choice. I love all of those popular people who like to talk about the power of choice, but they never talk about the power of consequences. Y'all can make all the choices in the world, but your consequences are already built in. So when I was out there doing all that stuff that everybody's doing today and a whole lot more than what I was doing, I didn't realize I had built-in consequences for the power of choice. You have no control over the consequences because they belong unto God. So you can do whatever you want, but the consequences, you don't change. Oh, you'll walk in forgiveness, but you will reap what you sow. Come on, church. Come on, church. You're looking at a warrior who has been through some stuff, and a lot of the things I've had to go through is because I had the power of choice and the absence of consequences. That's why when I first worked at the middle school, back in that particular era, it was all about if guys needed a condom, here's a condom so you protect yourself. But we never talked about the consequences of that. Emotionally, mentally, socially, psychologically. Here's a rubber ducky. Put it on. Go have fun. No, I'm for real, folks. Some of you are looking around like, oh, what do they think? I don't care what you think. You think whatever you want. I live in a real world. And that's the thing that's bothering me as an educator, as an administrator. We're still telling kids they can do whatever they want, but we're not telling them about the consequences of what they're doing. Let them know, here, you can do this, but this is going to be some of the consequences if you do this. Come on, church. Smile. Come on, it's true. It's true. Here's the scriptures, and then we're coming down the stretch. This is all about pleasing God. How many are going to be here next Sunday about taking risk? Good. I met some colleagues over at Subway the other day. Yes, Robin, I went to Subway. She was asking the other day, where'd you go for lunch? I didn't say anything. Sometimes I don't tell the story. Do you? Do you tell everything to everybody? You got to learn to cover your flanks. I would put it in a different vocabulary if I was in a different setting. You know I can work in that setting too. Some of you who have had me know that's true. But I've never diminished my testimony. You better know how to cover. Why are y'all putting everything out there? Why are y'all putting everything out there? Jesus covers everything, but we exploit it. And then we go around exploiting other people. We have a mixed message going on in the church. Why? Because we're trying to run hip-hop with everybody and please everybody. Man, just please the Lord and know that your journey is for Him and for His glory. And when He was walking down the Via Della Rosa, He was thinking about you. I bet not one time did He think, wonder what people are thinking about me. He already settled that in the garden when He said, not my will, but yours be done. So He knew, all in. Amen? Ooh, the Spirit of the Lord is here. Let me get these scriptures to you and we'll wrap it up. Pleasing others. I feel like I just left something out there on the table I was supposed to pick up. If it comes back around, I'll give it to you. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Peter and the other apostles answered, we must obey God rather than people. This is when they got called in for preaching in the name of Jesus. You know that's going on in our nation right now. Please don't use His name and don't close your prayer in His name. And Peter said, isn't that amazing? But we want to walk with Him. We want to talk about Peter. Why don't we walk like Peter? Amen. Come on, don't shut me up now. I mean, he said, no, we're not going to stop. We're going to continue to teach and preach in this name. And if you'll read the rest of Acts chapter 5, he explains why. And then they really got mad because he said, it was you that put him on that cross. Go read it today. And they got furious. And the truth be known, I also put him on that cross. So you got to make a decision today. Are you going to please people or are you going to please God? But I like in some of the reading that I did and study, I won't take all the time, many of the writers that I read about, they said, the only problem is sometimes we get real arrogant when we go, all I'm going to do is please God. I don't care if I walk all over you. That is not what I'm preaching. Because I am sensitive to the needs of others, but ultimately, I'm going to do what God's called me to do. And I'm going to please him, and you should feel the same way. But hold on. Don't be a lone ranger. If there's not a gatekeeper out in front of you, I wouldn't be making any moves. You better have, that was last couple weeks ago or last Sunday, you better have a gatekeeper or you're going to find people out there that are going to try to get you to please them. I remember when I took an interview to just be the senior pastor of preaching in Waycross, Georgia, when I met everybody on the board, it was, man, I just got all kinds of signals. No, 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 no. And they laid down how it was going to be. It was a big, big, big place, big, big church in Waycross, which isn't that big of a place, but it was a big church. And the Spirit of the Lord, when I walked in there, he said, no, 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 no. Can you hear his voice? Do you hear his voice? Or do you do what people want you to do because they said they heard from the Lord for you? I don't know, there's one person in this room that I've ever walked up to and said, here's the word of the Lord for you, from me to you, help you go with this. If you do get that from me, you better have confirmation from him, because I can miss it. Do good preaching. 1 Corinthians 11:1, we're almost there. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Paul's main mission in life was to please God. His main mission was to honor the Lord. Now, let me break it down this way. Because if you can't make it practical, then it's not real. So I'm to imitate Christ as Paul imitated Christ. Okay? Paul always honored those who were above him. Okay, that sounds good. Let's see how that works out. This past week, there was an administrator's retreat. All administrators were invited to the superintendent's home. I thanked Mr. Hastings and his wife while I was there. Later that day, I sent an email to Mr. Hastings and to his wife saying, one more time, I want to thank you for opening up your home, which I'm not sure I want to do that, to all the administrators. Go ahead and smile. It's okay. Now, he really doesn't care about if he's pleasing everybody. Folks, I can't please everybody. If I please everybody here and everybody at the school and all those parents, oh, you got to be kidding me. I'm just trying to get it with him. And there's days I struggle just pleasing him. Don't you? It's tough just pleasing him. And so I honored the superintendent of schools, who is my superior, which is a reflection that I honor God. Yo, listen, don't walk out of here going, in just a few moments, don't walk out of here going, man, I honor God, I please God, but you never build people up and you never encourage people and you never honor anyone, please. If there are those who are over you, business-wise, or in the kingdom, you better honor up or you'll never go up. That is a biblical principle. If you do not honor up, you will never go up. Let me give you, oh, somebody's struggling. King Saul was in there doing, you know what he was doing. And David's men came back to David and said, this is your opportunity, go get him. We can kill him right now. And he said, man, I'm not touching God's anointed. He honored a man who was about to lose the presence of the Lord. He still honored the position that the man held. If you do not honor those who are over you, don't expect to go up in the kingdom. Have you guys got that? And if you're downgrading your boss and you're downgrading those who are over you in business, like I'm out there in the work field, if you're talking behind their back, God's not going to elevate you. Good preaching this morning? Yeah. And here's the real danger. I trash you around your friends, but when I get around you, I go, hey, how are you doing, sweetheart? You look so nice today. Oh, man, I'm so glad you're here. And then I run back over here. Dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. Nudge somebody and say, disequilibrium. Mm-hmm. Last two verses. You know that's going on all the time. That's why I just get real nervous, because when people come up and throw all that sugar, I'm just thinking, what is going on behind closed doors? Too much sugar is not good. For the physical, you can take it from there. Galatians 1:10, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. I signed up, as we come to the stretch of this, I signed up to be a servant of Jesus Christ. I won't be able to please everybody. That was the word of God right there. That's the book that I held up during worship this morning. If I'm a servant of God, I can't have at the top of my agenda, I'm going to please everybody. In fact, check this out. Paul said, I'm not trying to discourage anyone who's single. Paul said, I think I've heard from the Lord, if you're single, you have a better shot at, this is 1 Corinthians 7, you have a better shot at pleasing God, because if you're a married man, then your goal is to go to bed with your wife. I didn't mean to say that. I struggled right there. No, he says this, just because I see some of you guys are actually out of here already. My goal as a married man is that I want to please my wife. Now I've got a dual thing going on. I'm trying to please God, and I'm also trying to please my wife. It's in God's word. So we as human beings are built to please other people. There's got to be a shift in here this morning. Last verse, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. So when I sent that email to our superintendent, God saw that, and he saw where it came from. God sees right now where you are. God sees what's going on in your life. Okay, I just got to shake that down for a second. Hello, men. How many married men do I have here? Okay, I saw a few hands. Let's just check this out. Because he asked me, how many of us as men, back when you were young, when you were first married, had the agenda, I'm going to please my wife, but I sure hope it ends up here. How many men now want to raise their hand with me? There's a few. Oh, wow, you guys are real men. I mean, the men that didn't raise their hand, you are, oh, wow, awesome. I'm just now 21, and I still have that tendency. Okay, let me break it down. Because some of you probably really wonder, because I just was asked the other day, when are you going to retire? And I said to myself, I said only to myself, the next question is, when are you going to die? Why do people who have X amount of years all the time talk about retirement? The next question you should ask is, so when are you going to die? And don't ask me when I'm going to retire. I don't know. I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea, and I don't know when the exit's going to be for me. But listen closely. God is in our house. But better than that, he is in the temple. How many know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? What? Know you not that you've been bought with a price? Therefore, glorify God. Gentlemen, thank you for raising your hands, going, I can see it is important for me to please my wife, but I also sometimes have agendas. Now, men, I don't want us to be out on the deep end all by ourselves. And my wife is looking at me like, I knew he was going to go there. Ladies, how many of you, when you chose that special man that God gave to you, had an agenda? Just, you had your own agenda. Come on, ladies. Okay. Okay. When we're not pleasing people, thank you, Holy Spirit, we're done. When we're not pleasing people, you know who we're trying to please? The greatest satisfaction is when we set out to please God. Those who would like to please God more the remainder of this year than we have so far this year, I'd like for you just to stand to your feet with me, saying, you know what? Less of me. And secondly, I'm not going to have the agenda of trying to please everybody in my circle or everybody in my world. I'm really going to focus on pleasing God. Oh, yeah, years ago, how many ever went to Sunday school? Back in the day, those Sunday school things, yeah. Remember the little thing, joy? Remember that one? Jesus, come on, church, help me. Jesus, others, and you. How many would like to walk out of here with a whole lot of joy today? There's your agenda. Say it with me. Jesus, others, and you. See how easy that is? That's joy. Have you got it? Father, it's been a great, great morning. It's been an awesome morning of worship. It's been incredible building up the body of Christ. And I thank you that the people were so free to go, yeah, sure, I can do that. I'll be glad to move. I can go pray. I can go speak a word of encouragement. And then, Father, we opened up our hearts and we received your word this morning. We know that naturally we are prone to traps. We do have a desire to help others. All of us do. But we're not going to be in bondage to that concept. Wayne, what's the church people going to say? What are they going to think in the neighborhood when they see that home? What are they're going to... We now set ourselves apart from all of that. Our goal today is to carry joy. Joy that comes from you. We're going to put you at the forefront of our lives to please you. We're going to reach out to others to meet their needs. And then we're going to then consider how you have blessed our lives. We're standing across this room now, and I'm asking that you would speak to the hearts of your people. Let's just take a moment in his presence. And you talk to him. He's your father, not just mine. He's your Abba Father. Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Just tell him what's on your heart. You might be like that great saint of old who may be saying, gosh, I didn't get anything out of that. So, Lord, you got to speak to me. I appreciate his effort, but I didn't get anything. Lord, you speak to my heart. Maybe that's you. I don't want you to walk out of here empty-handed. I don't want you walking out going, I didn't get anything. I'm not going back. I want to invite you back. Put this as a goal this week. I'll serve others, but I'm not going to try to please others because I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, many of us have conveyed from our hearts to you a very simple prayer, maybe an acknowledgement, maybe a moment of repentance, and it's been good. I just want to thank you for being such a great Father. I thank you for helping all of us in the journey of life. I thank you for the worship this morning. I thank you for the great response in worship. And I thank you for the cooperation around your word, how we just embraced what you're doing. As we go out to enjoy family time and lunch and activities in the afternoon, I pray that you would place a covering over our lives. And I pray that you would place a seal upon your word that you have given to us today. Pray for our young people today, young adults, that they will know that there's a package, there's a plan that you have for their lives. In Jesus' name, God's people said.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Forward Church Online. We hope this has been a blessing in your life and that you'll share this and other great resources with your friends. We want to invite you to explore our webpage at www.myforwardchurch.org. There, you'll find online giving, church events, and so much more. Be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter, as there's always something happening around Forward Church. If you're ever in our area, we'd like to extend an invitation to come be a part of one of our live worship experiences. Thanks again for listening to the Forward Church Online Podcast. Have a great week.